1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. The Supreme Court rules on immunity. I'm Daria Albinger. The Supreme Court says presidents have some immunity regarding official acts while in office. ABC's Devin Dwyer.
This is in no short sense, a big win for Donald Trump. It means delay. We already knew that a trial on these charges would be unlikely before the presidential election. Now it's all but impossible based on today's decision.
ABC legal contributor Kate Shaw.
This case is not unanimous, but a very big win for former President Trump, recognizing for the first time this sort of immunity of ex-presidents, not for everything they do. Unofficial acts are still subject to prosecution, but recognizing this kind of some absolute immunity for core presidential functions, some qualified immunity for other official acts, that seems to be what the opinion says, is an enormous addition of new powers and protections to the president.
The dissenting justices say the ruling turns a person who holds the office into a king. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Parts of southern Wisconsin hit by tornadoes last week will get help from the state to clean up and recover. Governor Evers issued a disaster declaration on Friday. About a dozen tornadoes swept through southern Wisconsin last week. Some of the worst damage was in the Janesville area. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign starts collecting signatures today to appear on Wisconsin's November ballots. They need 2,000 valid signatures by August 6th.
We'll probably collect 4,000 or 5,000 signatures just to be sure that that we have far more than we need. And if our other state's performance is anything to go by, it may be far, far more than that.
Campaign manager Amaryllis Fox Kennedy speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Green Bay Area Public School District had a tumultuous year in 2023-24, and it will start next year where it ended last, under the direction of Interim Superintendent Vicki Bayer. WLUK Fox 11 reports that the school board has not even begun its search for a replacement for former Superintendent Claude Tiller, who resigned in February after having only been on the job for 8 months. Oshkosh Pride brought hundreds of people to the Leach Amphitheater Saturday, and Julianne was one of those participants.
I've been gay since I was 16 years old, and now I'm 66. I've been with the same person for 38 years.
See photos of the event in our story at WGBW.fm. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
A Brewers win over the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-1 victory over the Chicago Cubs in Milwaukee. Chicago's Kyle Hendricks had his curveball and changeup working until the fourth when he gave up a home run to Christian Yelich, then three consecutive singles, followed by a grand slam by Bryce Terang. I asked Hendricks, was that the worst inning of his career?
I've had a lot of really bad innings. You just sit and you evaluate it for what it was. It was pretty clear to me that there were pitches up over the middle of the plate. So when I'm doing that, you don't give yourself much of a chance anyway.
After giving up a solo home run on the second pitch of the game, the Brewers' Freddie Peralta settled in, retired 14 batters in a row. How did he react to Terang's grand slam?
I get excited and I get emotional in that moment. I said a bad word that I'm not allowed to say here. But it was great feeling.
The crew opened a series tonight against the Rockies. Racing at Road America, Paul Menard took the checkered flag at the Trans Am event, but was later penalized for illegal contact with another car. He dropped a second, making Brent Cruz the winner. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We've got some heavy rain rolling in overnight. Be sure to find those umbrellas for tomorrow because scattered shower chances continue and the rain ramps up again by the evening. Until then, enjoy today. Clouds increasing, breezy winds, and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
This July 4th, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, WGBW would like us all to reflect on the words of John Dickinson. Then join hand in hand, brave Americans all. By uniting, we stand. By dividing, we fall. This message is made possible by Renez Group, offering assisted living, memory care, rehabilitation, and skilled nursing services. If you have a loved one in need, call 715-582-2200 for Renez Group in Peshtigo.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbris joins me to talk about Riverfest Lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. It is Monday, July 1st, 2024. A great day to be a Wisconsinite under mostly sunny skies here in the Madison area. Another beautiful day to get out and enjoy some sunshine. Hopefully you had a great weekend. And how about Matt Flynn? I mean, what better way to start a Monday than with Matt Flynn?
Yeah, especially when there's so much legal stuff to weigh in on.
Yeah.
Let's say you want to know what happened this morning, but you don't want to read a 120-page legal document. Right. Well, just listen to Matt Flynn.
Exactly. And I love the fact that he can make even a goofball like me, who's not an attorney, help me understand it and put it down there so I can get it. So we appreciate
Absolutely.
Matt taking time for us this morning. And he's going to be back with us, I believe, on the Monday of the Republican National Convention talking about his new book. And this will be fantastic. Because some of his books are thrillers, some are just, you know, factual. This book he's just written is actually a comedy.
I'm interested to check it out.
And it's about Milwaukee. And it he didn't plan it this way, of course, but it just fell into line that Donald Trump calls Milwaukee a horrible city, and there's a big uproar, as there should be, about that. And Matt's writing a book showing people how great Milwaukee is, and that it's a funny city, too.
It certainly is. That's for sure.
Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, both based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's not about that, but I'm just, in his new novel, and we'll talk about it with Matt from the Republican Convention here in a couple of weeks. So thank you very much to Matthew. Great to have you along here on a Monday. I promise you, we've been trying to get to this for 2 or 3 days now, but we had a caller last week who called in on electric vehicles, EVs as they're known, and whether or not some of these Biden administration guidelines are aspirational goals or whether they are, in fact, mandates. And we've gotten to the bottom of it. We're going to hear from the Secretary of Transportation himself, Pete Buttigieg. And we have a great clip from this. It's going to walk us through. It will sort everything out and give us factual information. So looking forward to that a little bit later this hour. I want to be, well, first of all, should remind people as well, the Milwaukee Brewers, what a weekend the Brewers had down there in Milwaukee. They took 2 of 3 from the dreaded Chicago Cubs. The Brewers still in first place in the National League Central, 6.5 games. Ahead of their closest rival, the St. Louis Cardinals. Then they find, 9.5 games back there are the Pirates. And then 11 games back are the Reds. And 11.5 games behind the Brewers are the Chicago Cubs. Could not be better.
Yesterday, my roommate, who's a Cubs fan, went to the game with a friend. And all the Brewers fans, as the Cubs lose, all the Brewers fans are like, the Cubs still suck. Oh, get out of here. And my roommate was like, oh, yeah, well, literally the only reason you're filling up the park is because Chicago fans are coming up.
I would not say that because I think the Chicago fans steal some of our tickets. That's what I think happens.
It's still, you can't deny that they certainly boost the attendance by a lot.
As do we, the Brewers fans, when we go down to Wrigley Field.
Yes, this is true.
I've been to a game down there where the Brewers are playing down there, and we bought a couple of tickets at Wrigley. And let me just say, Wrigley's an historic and a lovely ballpark.
I still haven't been there, but I'd like to.
It's fantastic. I'm not going to say anything bad about Wrigley Field. You can still hear Harry Carey up in the stands. So if you listen closely.
The voice just echoes.
Yes. How about that? Anyway, I need to practice on my Harry Carey. The Brewers in first right now, 6.5 games ahead of the Cardinals. They are in action once again, this time from the great state of Colorado. They're on a Colorado high out in the Rockies. Game time is set for 7:05, the first pitch. You can hear it if you're in the great city of Richland Center on WRCE, in Racine, Kenosha on WRJN, in Oshkosh on WISS, and up in beautiful Park Falls on 98Q Country, WCQM up there in Park Falls. Remember, we cannot stream the Brewers game is because of Major League Baseball contracts. But if you're in one of those cities, dial us in, and it's a good time had by all. The Brewers are continuing to really impress people, and Pat Murphy doing an outstanding job in his first year with the Milwaukee Brewers. I want to get to go back to last week just for a second, because there's still a lot of debate over the weekend on the Sunday morning talk shows, other places, on the presidential debate from last week. And I think it's important to hear from a couple of folks and put this in perspective. And then, and Matt and I did not get to this on air, but I'll tell you a little bit of Matt and I's conversation over the weekend. Because, again, he's a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's an attorney. He understands the inner workings of the Democratic Party. So we're going to hear from a couple of folks, Rick Wilson from the Lincoln Project, a former Republican, and also Adam Kinzinger, a former Republican congressman from Illinois. And then we're going to put this into context in terms of how things could and should move forward in terms of the matchup in November on the presidential level. So first of all, here's Rick Wilson from over the weekend talking about, well, actually it was on Friday, talking about the presidential debate from Thursday between Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Joe Biden can have a bad night, but Donald Trump every single day of his life is a fraud, a con man, a pathological liar, a sexual assaulter, and a felon. And so, you know, when you saw Donald Trump, you know, within the first few minutes of the debate last night, he realized he wasn't going to get checked on any of the crazy stories. So as the debate progressed, he got more and more and more and more manic about his lies and more like sort of Tommy Flanagan, you know, that's the ticket. Yeah. You know, the whole thing went, it just ramped up because he knew he was getting away with lying on the set.
But he was able to get away with it, and he was able to pitch himself as something he is not to 49 million Americans who were watching. It's about the numbers we think that's going to fall on. He was able to say that January 6th wasn't a big deal, that he offered Nancy Pelosi troops and she said no to it. I mean, he was able to get away with so much last night because there wasn't a fact check. There wasn't effective pushback. Does that affect the election?
Look, I will say this. Debates are overscored as a general election motivator. They do not have the impact that we in the political class, the media class, think that they have. Was it a bad night for Joe Biden? I'm not going to say it wasn't. It was a terrible night for Joe Biden. But Donald Trump has a terrible day and night all the time. He never gets any fact-checking on the whole. And that's part of the problem we have in the country right now, is that he has been allowed to tell these unbelievable lies for a long time without his people or him getting cut off in midstream, in mid-sentence, which is, you know, not editorial. I'm not a journalist.
People have cut him off.
Some of them have.
But every word out of his mouth can be a lie. So,
right, including the articles A and the. I mean, this guy can lie. This guy can lie about things with, you know, he could describe the sky as blue, and there would be a lie contained in it in some manner.
Rick Wilson on MSNBC on Friday And I think the point he's making is a valid one, which is the optics of Joe Biden in the debate last week are overshadowing the factual content of Donald Trump's nearly continual stream of lies from last week. And at the end of the day, that's what we, including myself and in the media, should be focusing on more, is the actual ongoing lies of Donald Trump. And again, I'm not one sugarcoating this or trying to gaslight and say Joe Biden didn't have a bad debate. I agree with Rick Wilson. It was a terrible debate for Joe Biden. Unprecedentedly terrible for Joe Biden. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Trump had nearly unprecedented lies that went unchecked in the same debate. I want to read you this from Heather Cox Richardson, who we often quote on this show, a great writer, great journalist, great columnist. And again, this is not making an excuse for Joe Biden, but I think I find it very interesting, and I'll tell you why. She wrote this about last Thursday, quote, "This was not a debate. It was Trump using a technique that actually has a formal name, the Giesch Gallop, G-I-S-H. Although I suspect he comes by it naturally, it's a rhetorical technique in which someone throws out a fast string of lies, non-sequesters, and spacious arguments, so many that it is impossible to fact check or rebut him in the amount of time it took to say them. Trying to figure out how to respond makes the opponent look confused because they don't know where to start with the grappling, to start grappling with the flood that just hit them. It is a form of gaslighting, and it is especially effective on someone with a stutter, as Biden has. It is similar to what Trump did to Biden back in the debate of 2020. In that case, though, the lack of muting the mics left Biden simply saying, quote, will you shut up, man, unquote, a comment that resonated with the audience. Giving Biden the enforced space to answer by killing the mic of the person not speaking tonight actually made that technique more effective, unquote, from Heather Cox Richardson. I thought that was a very interesting point. And again, I'm not trying to make excuses for Joe Biden and wipe away the performance. I'm simply saying, and Trivia Olson has talked about this, the guy running Trump's campaign, Chris LaCivita, ran Ron Johnson's campaign against Mandela Barnes here in Wisconsin and won. LaCivita is an expert campaigner. He knows every play in the book, and this is one of them. They did this specifically to make Biden look even worse than he would have naturally. And it was intentional. And I'm glad Heather Cox Richardson called out. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the beautiful town of Merrimack. Jack in Merrimack, got about a minute left. It's all yours.
I'll be as quick as possible. Trump was allowed to, quote, win the debate because of the tacit acceptance of his every utterance with no rebuttal, no fact checks by the so-called moderators. From a site describing moderator duties, moderators use a standard or guideline to ensure that all the content shared during a discussion or debate is appropriate. I'd argue a minimum standard that's appropriate is keeping both parties from lie. If you're a sports fan, consider this. It's like a baseball umpire who, when one side follows all the rules as well as they can, and the other side cheats and repeatedly lies about it, and all of a sudden that side wins.
Right. Stay tuned. More on the other side. Thank you, Jack. It's the Tylo Ball Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, One, two, three.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday, July 1st, 2024, the 20-minute mark now after the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Going back to last week's debate with a couple of reflections. And again, I'm not trying to drag this out. I just think it's because this has continued to have legs, as we say in politics and the media, meaning that this story about Joe Biden and his bad debate performance and, geez, should he be replaced or not, it continues to kind of perpetuate itself. So I think it's good just to take it on. And again, I've said last week, I continue to say, no denying it, Joe Biden did not have a good night, had a really bad night. But because of the optics, and again, there was a meeting of the Biden family that had been scheduled to get together for an annual yearly family photo. And I guess there's reports are, a lot of the family finger pointing, say, how could the staff let him go out? The makeup person didn't have him made up right because he looks so pale. I mean, lots of finger pointing. But the bottom line is this, folks. That at the end of the day, Joe Biden is a compassionate, good person who will do the right thing for America. Who will choose democracy. Who will choose the rule of law. And on the other side, you have a guy in Donald Trump who has shown time and again that's not what he will do. A friend of the show actually tweeted this earlier. This from Matthew Dowd over the weekend. Quote, the choice is two elderly people, but incredibly different people to house sit. I'll step away for a second. So imagine this. You're going to go away on vacation, and as you do, you find somebody to house sit for you, to watch over your house while you're gone. Back to Matthew Dowd. Quote, Biden may forget to turn the porch light off, but he will water your plants and feed your dog. Trump will kill your plants and kill your dog and probably split the profits on whatever the burglar was trying to get. That's the choice between two older people that are going to house sit for you, unquote. I thought it was pretty good in terms of what people could understand. Let's play this clip from over the weekend. This is Adam Kinzinger. I think it was actually on Friday as well. On CNN, Adam Kinzinger, the former Republican congressman from Illinois, who was on the J6 bipartisan congressional committee, but it's being interviewed by Anderson Cooper and another guy on the panel who is a Republican, and giving it to Adam Kinzinger. It's a great retort. This is Kinzinger on CNN from last week.
Congressman Kinzinger, you just endorsed President Biden the day before the debate.
How's that going for you?
I'm just wondering, any regrets about that? Or, I mean, how do you see this? You were a Republican.
David, listen, man. You know what I'm proud of? I'm proud that I'm not standing here sitting on a stage supporting a man who is a habitual liar, who couldn't tell the truth, who pretended like the January 6th committee deleted all evidence, and it's on the frickin' internet. He has a defense team that can also come up with whatever evidence they want. So,
Congressman King.
I thought that was great. You know, not afraid to say, look, at least I'm not supporting a 34-time convicted felon. Someone who lies without thinking about it. At least Adam Kinzinger is supporting and endorsing Joe Biden, a candidate who you can be proud of when it comes to their morals, their character, and will they do the right thing. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Kurt in Madison, listening on WMDX. Kurt, always appreciate your call. What say you?
I'd like to pose the question. If you're part of Biden's staff for advising for him, and you approached him and said, or someone approached him saying, would you do a debate with Trump? What do you think your answer would be?
If I was on staff, they asked, do I think the president should do another debate with Trump?
No. Before the initial date, with any debate at all, given Trump's track record, would you advise Trump, or excuse me, advise Biden to have a debate with Trump?
Well, I think me making that, I'll answer the question, but it's based on an incomplete level of facts. I'm not in the room. I don't know what the president is like day in and day out. I don't know all the inside polling numbers. But based on an outsider perspective, I probably would have said not to do it as early as they did it. But I think it would look weird if you say, well, if the other side says you're going to, I never think that it looks good for anyone to say they're not willing to debate. Now, I know guys like Derek Van Orten, a Republican from the 3rd Congressional District, he got away with it last time by not debating and got elected to Congress. But by and large, it usually looks bad if you say I'm not going to debate.
Well, I respectfully disagree with you because debating in the past presidencies before Trump, I would say, yeah, I agree with you. But you're dealing with a psychopathic narcissist who is nothing but a ball of destruction, and you're asking Biden to step into a ring where he cannot win that battle. It's only down, he can only go down, not up. So in my opinion, if I was advising, say, absolutely not, you don't have to debate this thing, guy, you just keep on going out there and tell him that he's psychopathic or narcissistic liar, and I don't waste my time with liars. Now, we're in this position because he decided to debate Trump. That's the way I see it. Going to the root cause, there's no downside not debating Trump because everybody knows he's a nut job.
I think that's interesting, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, Kurt. I think, and this is something Matt and I didn't get to on the air, Matt Flynn and I, we talked over the weekend, and he said that Biden achieved one goal and did not achieve the other. The first goal was to show that he, you know, could competently lead into another term, and he failed at that based on the optics of his performance. But the second one that Matt said, it was to basically get Donald to remind people how crazy Donald Trump is. Because look, we're almost 4 years removed from Trump being behind the dais in the White House. And I think a lot of people have kind of, who haven't paid attention, like maybe you or I have every day, have forgotten what the Trump record was. And so by debating him on a national stage, we got reminded that Donald Trump believes that Democrats and Joe Biden are in favor of pulling children out of the womb, the vaginal cavity, and killing them. Trump believes that January 6th wasn't a big deal. Donald Trump is not, given three chances, is not willing to accept the results of the 2024 election, and America got reminded of that last Thursday. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Well, my final thought is this. Biden was winning on the road with the bully pulpit. And I would have if it was me, I would have said, stick with this, hammer on this, and keep on pointing out how nuts he is. Everybody in that theater, when we went, their guts, like mine, were dropping out because we all saw the horror that was unveiling before our eyes. And yes, I'm not bailing on Biden or anything like that, but my point is, it was a scenario where it was bound to do more damage than good because you cannot win anything with someone that behaves like that. You might as well scream at a wall.
Right. In my opinion,
you're not accomplishing anything.
And I think, Kurt, that's probably why we might not see another one. You know, we might not see a second debate. And I think, you know, if Trump is sentenced, you know, which he is going to be the Thursday before the Republican convention, remember, Trump may be like out on bail to campaign. He might be spending part of his time in the jail. We don't know. We'll find out about that. I still believe that Joe Biden is the right choice. We'll get into it more on the other side, how the democratic mechanism works, because I think it's a lot more messy to change horses midstream. Back after this, the All Ball Show and Civic Media.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A report says Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave died of a heart attack while jogging last Friday. That's what sources tell the Racine County Eye. A cause of death had not been officially released as of this morning. Delagrave was 51 years old. A U.S. Supreme Court ruling late last week means abortions will still be available in emergencies, at least for now. The case comes from Idaho, where doctors are leaving rather than run the risk of going to jail.
These questions need to be decided by science, by evidence, by the individual case in front of you. The idea that you can have black and white worlds being created by people without the expertise, training, or experiencing the emergencies is really fundamentally dangerous.
Molly Meegan is chief legal officer with the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Keep in mind, with all the loud cracks and bangs from fireworks in our neighborhoods, pets can become uneasy. Now's the time to make sure that they're microchipped in case they decide to bolt from a loud boom. Then area humane societies and vet clinics will be able to scan the microchip and be able to contact you if your pet runs off. If your animal has already had a microchip, make sure the contact information is up to date. Lakeland Care Incorporated has been named one of the nation's top workplaces by Energage. Molly Burke, Lakeland Care's business development manager, says the award's all about Lakeland Care's culture.
Just because we've been planting so much into our workplace culture, it serves as a testament to the company's ongoing efforts to prioritize work-life harmony and create a culture that values and supports its workforce.
Lakeland Care is a nonprofit organization that provides long-term managed care for frail, elderly, and disabled individuals in 22 counties. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The ladies of The View are always outspoken, to say the least, especially one in particular. Joy Behar recently said she still plans to get it on with a woman. When asked by fellow hosts Sandra Bernhard and Judy Gold if she's ever been with a woman, the 81-year-old Behar says no, but someday I will be. Behar clarified that she would do it when she was in her 90s. Sexy. It wouldn't be totally unheard of for Behar to take a walk on the wild side late in life. She met her current husband, Steve Janowitz, at a semi-nudist colony in 1982. Behar says Janowitz was naked. She was not, adding that for her to be naked in front of a man, she has to be in his will. The couple dated for 30 years before tying the knot in 2011. When asked why their courtship lasted so long, Behar said they wanted to wait until both sets of parents were dead so there'd be no in-laws. Behar was married to her previous husband, Joe, for 19 years, who I'm guessing she met playing Spin the Bottle. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We've got some heavy rain rolling in overnight. Be sure to find those umbrellas for tomorrow because scattered shower chances continue and the rain ramps up again by the evening. Until then, enjoy today. Clouds increasing, breezy winds, and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
This Independence Day, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, WGBW Talk of Green Bay, would like to give thanks and recognize men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom and wish everyone a safe and happy holiday. This message made possible by Dan Reisner and Sons Excavating, serving all your excavating and truck needs with over 40 years experience. Call 920-897-2397 and visit them online today at danreisner.com.
At Fleet Farm, we know every sunny day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday fishing gear from Rapala, Berkeley, and Minn Kota. Everyday grilling goods from Weber, Kingsford, and Blackstone. Everyday camping gear from Coleman, Yeti, and Eureka. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday for the Trump immunity ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll find out if Joe Biden's got SEAL Team 6 on speed dial.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. July 1st, Mr. Zomers. We've changed the calendar page. We are now in the throes of summer.
That we are.
Can you believe it?
Well, it always goes fast.
It does. It does. It's July is going to be a wacky and wild month, as Johnny Carson used to say.
For this show, especially.
We're on the road a lot. Coming up next week, going to be on the road, 5 cities in 5 days with Trigvi Olson, the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour 2. Two, deuce.
Electric Boogaloo.
Going to be going around the state of Wisconsin. Details to follow soon. Looking forward to getting back on the road and talking with many of you. Going to be covered. Here's one place I know is confirmed. The Friday of the tour, the Friday before the Republican National Convention, will be in River Falls, home of Trigvi Olson, for the 50th anniversary of River Falls Days. How about that?
That should be exciting.
Also next week, it'll be up in Chippewa Falls for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. So that'll be fantastic. And other locations to be named soon. So that'll be a good time to have by all. And then I come home and do laundry and pack for a day and then back on the road to Milwaukee for the week to cover the Republican National Convention down in Milwaukee. Later on in the month, we're going to be covering the Public Education Network Conference here in Madison and also the EAA in Oshkosh, doing the show from there for a day or two.
Going to get some miles on the old Dodge.
It's going to get some miles. But looking forward to it. That's key, I think, getting out on the road and being with each and every one of you instead of just being behind the desk every day.
You really got, it's just like, I'm not saying, I know you're not going to like this comparison. It's just like Tammy Baldwin.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I
just meant you wouldn't want me to compare to her accomplishments.
Well, no, I'm not something. As accomplished as her, but no, I think you're absolutely right. That's what makes
Senator Baldwin successful. You got to get out and talk to the people.
Successful, right. She gets out and talks to people. Absolutely. So all that coming up in the month of July, looking forward to it in nervous anticipation. Want to button up this conversation that we started before the break here on Joe Biden, the debate performance last week, which was not good. We're not going to sugarcoat it. But again, it's taking away a lot from the fact that Donald Trump repeatedly lied, I mean, ad nauseum, one on top of another, on top of another. And that may well be intentional, as we talked about this article from Heather Cox Richardson, great author and writer. The technique, particularly effective with stutterers, and again, not saying, you know, oh, it was just that, but it was a large contributing factor. Want to talk a minute, and again, I talked to Matt Flynn over the weekend, former two-time chair of the Democratic Party and attorney. And I just want to talk for a minute, because this has been on all the talk shows over the weekend, about, oh, geez, should we replace or should Democrats replace Joe Biden? I understand why, at first glance, the answer for a lot of people is yes, we have to. There's so much at stake, and there is. But let me talk about a couple of things for just a minute. We saw and we played cuts on this show of Joe Biden the day after the debate on Friday when he was out on the stump in North Carolina. And he was great. And yes, I get it. He had a teleprompter and it was earlier in the day. But I think it proved in my mind, at least, the guy's competent. The guy is still there. He just had a bad night. And as he said on the stump, look, I'm not getting any younger. I'm an older person. I can't walk as fast. Can't debate quite as quick. But I fundamentally know right from wrong, and he'll do the right thing. And I believe that. And then you look at the other side of the ticket. And this is where I think is important. Is that, and I say this particularly for independents and my friends in the Democratic Party, because I saw this firsthand in 2016 when there were people that said, you know, Democrats who said, we need to send a message to Hillary. She's gone too mainstream. And now we have Democrats who are concerned, and rightly so, about what's happening in Gaza. And we have Democrats who just don't think that Joe Biden's gone far enough. And there are not just Democrats, but particularly younger people who say we're sick and tired of only having two choices. And if we don't start voting for other than the main two choices, how are we ever going to get progress? And I hear that, and I respect it and understand it as much as I can. But as Matt likes to say, and we'll clean it up for radio, look, we've seen some stuff. We've been around a little while. And the reality is that with the election so close, one of two people is going to be the next president of the United States, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. That's it. And so any vote for Cornel West or Jill Stein or Robert F. Kennedy Jr., or by saying, look, I'm not going to vote for anybody. They're both bad. All of those things I just said are tantamount to votes for Donald Trump. It puts him that much closer to winning the election. And so I believe that we need to have a coalition of former Republicans, now independents like myself, current Republicans like Paul Ryan and Dale Schultz in the state of Wisconsin, Republicans like Adam Kinzinger, former congressman from Illinois, Republicans like Liz Cheney, who said, look, we haven't left the party. We don't believe in MAGA, but we're not supporting Donald Trump. And in some cases, we're actually voting for Joe Biden this one time, as much as we may disagree with him, because democracy and the future of our country is dependent on it. And again, I also understand for a lot of people who are not political nerds like I am, you say, well, geez, everybody says that every election. Oh, it's the most consequential election of our lifetime. Everything is at stake. And you're right. That phrase has been overused. I can only tell you after 40 years of working in politics and being around it and following it, it's real. We know this because of Project 2025, the manifesto that the Trump people have put out. We know that Trump tends to do away with the civil service. So every government job that's not politically appointed currently will be under the direction of Trump and Trumpism. You have to pledge allegiance to Trump or you're out of a job. We know this. He said that. We know that he intends to sign a national abortion ban if he gets back in. We know that he plans to pursue a third term if he gets back in. Our country, as we have known it, will fundamentally change. We know from the Chevron decision for the Supreme Court last week that says that basically under a Trump administration, again, they're not going to listen to the scientists. They're going to let the Supreme Court decide these things about the environment. There is a lot at stake in this election in November. And so the question then becomes, well, all right, well, can't we just have another candidate? And I don't think Matt will mind me talking about some of our conversation off the air. As I understand it, and I'm not an attorney and I don't want to get in the weeds, I don't want to get in an argument because I don't know every single fact. I want to make that clear. But here's what I do know, that if, and the big question, star asterisk, if either Joe Biden were to step down or basically forced out, you would set off a cataclysmic interfighting in the Democratic Party. The easiest thing would be for Biden to step down and say, I'm going to release all my delegates to Kamala Harris, my vice president. That would be clean and neat in some regards. But even then, it's unclear because those delegates are legally bound according to state laws. And I don't know all the state laws. So when you have a primary in a state, by law, Democrats are saying those delegates go to the person who won that state. They're legally bound. So it's up in the air whether or not you could just say, okay, those delegates now can vote for anybody. So you would set off a bunch of court cases, let alone not everybody is on the Kamala Harris bandwagon. Might want Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan, Pete Buttigieg. And by the way, even with Harris, but certainly with everyone else I mentioned and more, the only person that has a proven fundraising strategy, by the way, Biden outraised Trump over the weekend. The only person that has a proven fundraising strategy, the only person that has a proven get out the vote mechanism, the only person that has proven name ID, the only person that has proven national winning exposure, and who has proven to be Trump, is Joe Biden. Everyone else is unproven. Remember, Kamala Harris didn't even make it to the middle of the primary season last time. Pete Buttigieg basically finished second to Biden last time. Gretchen Whitmer has never been on a national stage. Neither has Gavin Newsom. And remember, this election comes, yes, it's a national election. A lot of people don't like this, but here's the reality. This is a regional election for the future of our country. The only states that matter in the Electoral College, and yes, I don't agree with the Electoral College either, but we're not changing that this year. The only states that matter are Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, kind of sort of Nevada, kind of sort of Georgia, and kind of sort of North Carolina. That's it. Those are the states where it's basically 50-50-ish. All the other states, for various reasons, we know where those states are going to vote in the Electoral College based on everything, the totality of polls and history. So you have to have a candidate that can identify and win in the states I just mentioned. So it's not as easy as, geez, Joe doesn't excite me. I have some concerns. Let's get somebody else. It is the ultimate political poker game. Do you stay with the cards in your hand if you're playing 21 and you're at 16? Do you keep the 16 and play with the odds? Or do you hit the unknown and lose it all? And for my money, I agree with Matt Flynn that Joe Biden, for all of his faults, is still uniquely positioned and best positioned to defeat Trump and Trumpism. Is it the perfect scenario? No. But it's the scenario that's before us. And just like in poker, and just like in cards, just like in euchre, you have to play the cards you're dealt. So again, I call on people, listeners of this program, if you are for women's health care, if you believe in equality and marriage equality and LGBTQ rights, if you believe in conservation and enjoy muskie fishing and deer hunting and the great outdoors, if you enjoy the fundamental tenets of freedom and liberty, vote for Joe Biden. Hold your nose if you have to. Don't tell your spouse, your friends, or neighbors. But go vote. Because if we don't, and Donald Trump gets another term, it is not hyperbole. It's not making stuff up. Our country will be fundamentally changed. And I don't know that we could ever get it back from another Trump presidency. Because remember, he listened to guys like Wisconsin Republican Reince Priebus and former General John Kelly when he said, why can't we just shoot the George Floyd protesters in the knees in Minneapolis? They said, Mr. President, you can't because it's not legal. He's made it clear, Trump, that if he gets in again, he ain't going to hire people like that. He only wants yes people around him with disregard for the law, because he's saying, boys, you told me I couldn't do it last time. What did it get me? Beat. It will be no holds barred in a second Trump presidency. Democracy is on the line. vote for Joe Biden. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. It is 10 minutes now before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the Maggie Dawn Show. Coming up at the top of the hour, enjoy it every afternoon between the hours of 2 and 4. Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Karina, listening in Milwaukee, VNW-AUK. Karina, I appreciate the call. If you can keep it brief, I got one more thing to get to. But Karina, what do you want to say? Go ahead.
Hi, Todd. You know what? I absolutely agree with you. And honestly, I can say the Joe Biden did his best by anyone who would have a straightforward conversation with Trump. Trump said nothing. If you want a country, we have a Supreme Court right now, who's canceling left and right, fundamental rights of the people in this country, then you need to look forward and see what kind of country you're leaving to your children. Because this kind of man will set up the scene in the Supreme Court with people who will admit and approve giving tips.
Yep.
And then go back and say that the taxes for tips are not going to be taxable anymore. Isn't that funny, Todd? He just had that line saying we should take tips off the tax line, and before you know it, the Supreme Court comes out and saying that we now can give a tips to the government worker. I want to know if I can go ahead and give a tip to a policeman.
That's a great.
What will happen?
That's a great question, Karina. She puts it as she always does. No, it's right, right? I mean, isn't it? It is seemingly, and I think in reality, it all works together. And again, Karina points out why this election is so important. One reason out of many, and we have to get to the polls coming up here in November for President Biden. I have promised you this, and thanks to Mr. Zomers, we're not going to leave today without getting to it. Okay, so this is Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation, with Representative Scott Perry concerning electric vehicles and the so-called mandates versus actual guidelines. Here is the entire clip from Pete Buttigieg from last week.
Now, recognizing that attempts to bribe the industry and the public into EV adoption have literally failed at this point, continue mandating CAFE standards, EPA tailpipe standards that are de facto EV mandates. And ideological allies in 12 states are seeking to ban the sale of non-EV cars. Now, we can talk about the proper role of government. That'd be a great conversation because I don't think that we have the authority or should have the authority to limit what consumers can buy in this regard or what they can own. But clearly, Mr. Secretary, this isn't working. So I'm wondering, is there some point, and if you've identified some point where you will stop, where the administration will stop, where the federal government will stop this requirement and let the market decide as opposed to this central planning model and this dictatorial policy?
Well, thank you. Given time is limited, I will confine myself to addressing the factually incorrect portions of what you have said, beginning with the assertion that EV sales are going down. They are, in fact, going up.
Does that include
every
the government sales
year,
or private sales?
Every single year.
Private sales
more
or
Americans
government sales,
have purchased
Mr. Secretary?
The entire market.
The government's forced to buy them, so sales are going up, but private sector.
There are private sales
not,
too, yeah.
I'd like those numbers.
Sure. 1.2 million EVs were sold in the U.S. in 2020.
How many government and how many private?
We'll get you that breakout, but as you know, more private citizens buy EVs than government purchases.
No, I don't.
Let me address the second
true.
Factual mistake in
okay.
your remarks, which was that EV costs are getting higher. They're, in fact, getting lower, and according to J.D. Power, have now reached parity or are slightly lower than
with
the
or without
gas-powered
subsidy, Mr.
car.
Secretary. With or
that
without
does,
subsidy.
Yeah, that does include the subsidy. That's right. But the point is they are going lower.
But they're not, because we're all
your
buying
your statement
them.
That they
we're
are going up is incorrect.
Them.
The third incorrect assertion you made is that sales dropped in Q1. They did not drop compared to Q1 of the previous year. Of course, if you compare them to Q4, they drop because they always do because car sales are seasonal. But I would imagine most people are aware of that. And
no,
fourth,
I'm talking about
I want
particular
to address
EV, Q4 to Q1. EV, not just overall car sales.
Any car sales go down Q1 to Q4 because more people buy cars in Q4. But what I'm telling you is every single year, more Americans buy EVs than the year before. And the word tailspin is just a bizarre word to use for a growing sector of our economy. We also think that since that's the way that the market is headed, we should not allow China to build on the advantage that they developed during the Trump administration, not because they're environmentalists, but because they understand the economic power of trying to dominate the EV market. We want those EVs to be made in America, and increasingly they are.
I'm happy to have them made in America, Mr. Secretary. What I'm not happy about is the mandate. America, the American people should be able to buy.
That brings me to the fourth
and
final thing that I need
there
to challenge as being factually inaccurate, which there is no mandate. You can purchase a gas car if you want to pay gas prices at the pump, but if you don't, you can purchase an EV with our help.
That was absolutely fantastic. See, that's what we need more of. Just dispute. All you have to do is tell the truth. Just
He's
tell
got the
truth.
Numbers ready.
He's got the numbers. So no, in fact, there is no electric vehicle mandate into the future. If you want to buy a gas vehicle, you can buy a gas vehicle. If you don't want to, you don't have to. I love it. I want to address quickly off the text line there. Robert in Richland Center and Marine saying, quote, to be clear, if the choice is Biden or Trump, I'm unequivocally voting for Biden. That being said, I'm annoyed about being called a bedwetter because of my concerns. The attached article expresses my feeling better than I can. I hope you will read it and consider it. It's in the Bulwark and it's by Tim Miller. And I did read it and I appreciate it. And I appreciate our listeners in Richland Center and other places talking about this. But here's my point. Whether or not you have concerns about Joe Biden or not, politically, if I take off my emotion, just politically, it's immaterial. The only people that are going to quote unquote convince Joe Biden to step aside are either Jill Biden, Hunter Biden, or Biden's sister. That's it. And if he decides he's staying in, what good does it do to help defeat Donald Trump by talking about all the different scenarios that could be but aren't going to be? I would rather talk about what is. Joe Biden is today the Democratic presumptive nominee, soon to be the nominee. Donald Trump is the presumptive Republican nominee. Donald Trump represents a threat to American democracy. Joe Biden does not. It is a clear choice. And that's what we have. So I want to deal on that. I just, as Al Davis once said, just win, baby. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Hello, Ball. Thank you to Matt Flynn, Aaron Zommers, and all of you for listening. We appreciate it. Whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my good friend and retired attorney Sandy Williams will be here to talk about the recent Supreme Court decisions and how they affect you and me.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.